The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
Super. Thank you, young people. Take your Bible and go back, if you will, and watch the wording of this particular verse in Acts chapter 17, verse 27, where the Bible says that they should seek the Lord if haply they might feel after him and find him. Lo, it says, he be not far from every one of us. You know, I like to speak to you this morning. And what do you do when you find yourself in the dark? What do you do when you find yourself in the dark? You know, my dear mother, she was terribly fearful of storms. Matter of fact, when they would get on the television and they would say that a storm is heading our direction, automatically, my mother would break out the candles and the kerosene lanterns, and we would have those distributed in places of strategic placing in her house. I mean, they would be a place like one would be placed right outside the bathroom. There was a course in our long hallway that had a lot of the rooms in. There was right beside the bathroom door, there was a table outside, and she would place a kerosene lantern there. We always knew that's where the kerosene lantern would go. In the kitchen, she was afraid that we would get hungry as boys when storms would come, and so she placed a candle in there that would burn out pretty quick. And different places, she had kerosene lanterns, and she had candles and stuff like that, because she was just preparing for the time of darkness. She was preparing for the storm that might come our way. Notice, if you will, in verse 27, the Bible says, though he be not far from every one of us. Of course, we understand that God is not very far from every one of us when we face the storms that come in our life. Here, of course, it's the Apostle Paul, and he is preaching on Mars Hill, and he is preaching a sermon, and he's saying, look, you may have had it all figured out, but he is not very far from us. I think that so many times you think about ones that go, I know Brother Baldivis has made several trips to the hospital this week, and you know, that's a time that we could call, maybe in his personal life, a time of darkness. You know, Mrs. Freeman's daughter was tragically killed a couple weeks ago, and that was certainly in her life a time of darkness. Last night about 10:30 at night, Michael and Jennifer Cruff texted me and said, preacher, we are at the hospital. They were shopping, and Elijah had fallen out of the buggy and had fallen all the way to the hard floor and hit his head. And so they had taken young Elijah over to the hospital just to make sure that everything was all right, and praise the Lord, everything was. But that, for a young couple, is a time of darkness. You think about perhaps a car accident, or you think about being diagnosed with some incurable disease, or you think about maybe some unexpected bill. You thought you had your budget all figured out, thought you had money budgeted for a vacation, maybe to do some special things around the house or with your loved one, and then all of a sudden you get this unexpected bill that hits you right upside the head. Well, what is that? Well, that's an unexpected time of darkness. It might be that you lose a friend. It might be that all of a sudden you lose a job. But it might be something that comes in your life, and there's unexpected times of darkness where all of a sudden something hits us broadside. And we become blind, perhaps, during a period of time, sort of like in an accident. Many times when a person is in an accident, they just don't want to hear what may be a very credible story of the driver. But what they want to hear also is, if there were some witnesses, what did the witnesses see? Now, the reason they do that, of course, is because the person's in the driver's seat might have had a blind spot in their life, wasn't able to see something that really was taking place. And so what happens is they ask for other credible witnesses that might give a witness to the true happenings of what took place at that particular event. All right? And so we know that you and I, as believers, we go through blind spots in our life. We know, as believers, that we go through times of darkness in our life. Just because you're saved doesn't mean you're sanctified, and just because you're saved doesn't mean that you see everything that comes against you in a true light. There are several times in the Bible that God himself has struck people with blindness. There's the time, of course, when those men of the city, the wicked city of Sodom, had come and they had called out the angels that was spending the night at Lot's house, and God struck them with blindness because of the fact that they were trying to do that which was unseemly in the sight of man. Then you'll see that there was a time when God struck with blindness the man, if you would please, of those that were coming against the man of God. And you'll remember the story of Elijah, and you remember, of course, there was the chariots of that was around the house, and also chariots of fire, that angels were there, and they were going to protect this man of God as he had given warning to the Israelites about the Assyrian army coming in, and his servant could not see, and he prayed that God would open the eyes of the servant, and yet God also blinded the eyes of those that were there, and also you think about this, the servant's eyes were blinded there for a time as well, and God opened his eyes. You see a time when people are hindering the work of God. You'll see in Acts chapter 13 and verse 7 that there's Barnabas and Saul, and how Saul was trying to be recognized by those that were the disciples and was not recognized and was not given, if you would please, even a good hearing. And Barnabas introduced him to those that were the disciples. And you will see in different places where God just works in a marvelous way, where you'll see that sometimes, even in the Bible, God struck a man blind because of the pride that was in his life. And of course, that's Saul there again. You see different places, if you will, where blindness comes. But sometimes to the believer, it's not that God allows you to be blind, stay with me, because of a sin or because of wrongdoing or because of a problem. Sometimes there's just times of darkness that we walk through. I mean, it's just times of, I just don't really know what to do. Yeah, I want to do what is right. I want to try to step out and see what's right, but man, I'm just having trouble seeing what is right to do. Let me give you a couple of statements, I think, that can help you to be able to go through the times of darkness in your life. Statement number one, know where everything is while it's light. Know where everything is while it's light. You know, the Bible says in John chapter 11 and verse 10, the Bible says, and it says, but if the man, it says, walk in the night, he stumbleth because there's no light in him. All right? Never let your darkness take the light out of you. You know, reading the Bible is still right when you're walking through darkness. Going to church is still right when you're walking through darkness. Praying is still right when you have your darkest hour in your life. Tithing is still right when you have the darkest hour in your life. Being that person that tries to help other people along is still right, and it doesn't matter what darkness you're going through in your life. Ephesians chapter 5 and in verse 8, the Bible says this, but you were sometimes, it says, darkness, it says, but now it says, you are in the light of the Lord, walk as children of the light. So he says, sometimes you were in darkness. But now that you are saved, now that you are the light of that which is the world, now that Jesus Christ is your light, then walk as children of light. So when you go through darkness, it should not have an effect on you as a believer as it would have on somebody that's not a believer, because you have a hope, and that hope is Jesus Christ. 1 John 1 and verse 7, the Bible says, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. All right? What does that mean? Well, that means this. Can I tell you? Also, there's other people sitting in this room that's walking in darkness. And by the way, when we walk in darkness, but we have him as our light, then we can have fellowship one with another, not because of the darkness, but because of the one that we're fellowshipping with as we're walking through the darkness. So what does that tell me? That tells me I need to protect my relationship with God when walking through the darkness. You know, I've seen people that go through dark times in their life and they get bitter. I've seen people that go through dark times in their life and they give up on God. I've seen people that go through dark times on their life and they stop praying. I've seen people that go through dark times in their life and all of a sudden they stop being faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ. And can I tell you, when you go through dark times in your life, understand this, know where everything is while you're in the light. Statement number two, when darkness hits, picture where everything is. Picture where everything is. Now we have the daylight savings time, and it stays darker out longer. And so let's say that maybe you get up, whatever time it is that you get up, and it's still dark outside or whatever. And so you might not want to turn the light on and disturb your wife or your husband or whatever the case may be. And so what do? You kind of know where everything is because you knew where it was in the light. Now it's easy to walk that way in the dark, simply because of the fact you knew where it was in the light. By the way, the light did not change. And normally things do not move around much when you're walking in darkness if they're already in a stable position. So what happens? Well, when in darkness, when that darkness hits, picture where everything is. John chapter 13 and verse 17, the Bible says, if you know these things, happy are ye if you do them. All right? So by the way, it doesn't say if you see these things. It says if you know these things. These are things that you already know that is right to do. And he says you're still going to have happiness if you do what you know is right to do, even though maybe it's a difficult thing to do at the present time. You know, it is still good to pass out tracts even when you're walking in darkness. It is still good to love your neighbor even when you're walking in darkness. It is still good to call your mom and dad up and let them know you're praying for them even when you walk in darkness. It is still good to listen to old-fashioned preaching even when you're walking in darkness. It is still good to pray and to go to church and to read your Bible in your private world. It is still good to be able to be that right testimony for God, even when you're walking in darkness. And we're all going to have those dark times. Statement number one, I said this, know where everything is while the light is still there. Statement number two, when in darkness, picture where everything is. Picture where it is. Statement number three, when darkness hits, feel after those things. Feel after those things. You know, I remember coming up, and I'm telling you, my dear mother was fearful of storms. And so I remember one time all of a sudden it hit. We weren't prepared for it, which was highly unusual. And I'm sitting there. We had this green velvet couch. I mean, it's just as green as you could think of, and it was a velvet couch. I remember sitting on that velvet couch, and all of a sudden the lights went out. I mean, something hit. All of a sudden the lights went out. My dear mother was sitting beside me, and she reached her little hand over, and she grabbed my hand, and she said, Michael, are you there? I said, yes, ma'am, I'm here. And she said, I'm so glad. Well, I thought, you know, she'd say, Michael, are you there? And I'm so, you know, and then she said, I thought she'd let loose my hand. She didn't let loose my hand. She squeezed my hand. You know, sometimes when you go through darkness, can I tell you this, that it is important that we understand to be able to feel for those things around us. You know, be able to feel for something that is familiar. Boy, we had a milkman when I was coming up, and I know they don't do that anymore because I lived in a different lifespan. But we had a milkman. We had a house doctor that came too, and his name was Dr. Ford. And Dr. Ford would come whenever somebody get sick at the house, he'd make house calls. And I don't think they do that even anymore. But I was back in the day, by the way, when they had rotary telephones and all that good stuff too. But where you had to stand there and hold the ears of television, and Dad would say, nope, go to the left a little bit. Nope, go to the right. Step forward two steps. And I would stand there as Dad would watch something on television and just hold those rabbit ears because we had to get them in the right position. And that's where I came from. But you know, I remember the days when Dr. Ford would come to the house, but there's somebody else that came to the house. Every Friday, the milkman would come. And the milkman would deliver the milk, and he would set it outside. We had a milk container, and it would come straight from the farm, and he would bring it over, and he would put it right there in that milk container. We'd go outside. It was in a glass bottle, and we'd get that, and it would last, you know, for a little while. Of course, there's four of us boys, and it didn't last very long. But we'd go outside, and we'd get that. Oh, I remember one night that the lights was out, and I remember my dear mother saying, would you get me some milk? Would you get me some milk? And I just happened to have my handy-dandy flashlight. Woo! thank God for handy-dandy flashlights. And I pulled that handy-dandy flashlight right out, and I shined that thing, and I walked into the kitchen area, and I got her milk, and I brought it back, and I gave it to my dear mother, and she was so happy that I brought that. Now, how in the world was I able to do that? Well, I had a light. But if I did not have a light, can I tell you what I'd have to do? I'd just have to feel my way along, because she wanted that milk. Now, can I tell you, when all of a sudden the lights go out, the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 4 and in verse 26, the Bible says, ponder the path of thy feet and let all thy ways be established. Now, what's that mean? That means this. That means as you're putting your steps down, ponder them. Think upon them. You know, I think that we ought to be principally driven according to the Word of God. I think that you ought not ever make any decisions by your emotions that lead you. But I think you ought to take the Word of God out, look at the Word of God, open the Word of God, and allow God to be able to lead you to make a right decision based on a principle, not a personality, or not some type of a prestigious thing that you have that gets your emotions flowing, or something that is a pouty thing that gets your emotions flowing. I'm saying this. I'm saying that here we understand that the Bible is talking about right here how you ponder your steps. You ponder your steps. I did the high jump when I was in high school. I ran track and field, and I boxed a little bit when I was in high school. But I remember doing the running high jump. Oh, I remember that. And I'd dive over that thing, and I'd dive over it with my back, of course, towards the bar. And sometimes I'd do what they call the Flosbury flop, where you actually roll over your belly over the bar and stuff like that, and you land on the mattress type of stuffings there. I remember doing that. And I remember how we were taught how you're supposed to have X amount of steps for the height. If you're gonna get higher, you've got to back up. You've got to get more running. You've got to be able to hit that thing and go up very, very high. Now, I'm saying this. I'm saying that when all of a sudden darkness comes in your life, you have to back up and count your steps. You have to remember what was right when right was right. Because can I tell you, when you're walking in darkness, things get clouded. When you're walking in darkness, you can't see things. I tell people all the time, when it comes to making decisions in your life, never make a decision when you're emotionally distraught. Never, never make a decision when all of a sudden emotions is pulling on you. Why? Because probably you're going to make the wrong decision. Come on. You know, most people decide they're going to leave their marriages when they're emotionally hot at each other. You know, most people decide that they're going to walk out on a husband or a wife because they disagree, because they're in an emotional state of being. You know, people decide that they're going to walk away from each other because the finances are not what they ought to be, and because of that, they're emotionally stirred. You know, most young people get mad at their parents, and they make decisions about leaving home or about making a bad decision based on an emotional time in their life. You know, you've got to be very careful. Come on, all of a sudden you're emotionally stirred. It's not time to yell at your husband. Yeah, you could say amen there. All of a sudden, you get emotionally stirred. It's not time to yell at your wife. You get emotionally stirred. It's not time to come apart and rain all over your kids. Hey, how about getting some gravity in your life? How about getting some common sense in your life? How about getting some maturity in your life? How about just deciding that here's what I'm going to do. I am not going to try to be in darkness and just live by my feelings. I'm going to go back and I'm going to recognize some principles. And though I can't see them right now, yes, I grab that principle. And though I can't see what the outcome is going to be, if I obey this principle, I do see that principle. And I know that principle is right. God taught me in His Word that that principle is right. And so if I'll just obey that principle, God's outcome, by the way, God's outcome is better than your outcome. Amen. Oh, but preacher, I don't deserve this. You're right. You and I deserve hell. But we're saved. Thank God we're not going to go there. So can I tell you, when you go through the dark times in your life, do this, please. Know where everything is that you knew in the light. Statement number two, when you go through dark times in your life, picture where everything is. It's still right. Rearing godly kids today is still right. Loving your wife today is still right. Loving your husband today, hey, it's still right. Loving your parents today, hey, it's still right. Going to a fundamental Baptist church, hey, can I tell you folks, it's still right. So you decide that you're going to do the right thing. Okay, when in darkness, picture where everything is. Statement number three, I said, when in darkness, feel after those things. Statement number four, when in darkness, call out to those that can help you see. If you get in such an emotional stir that you're thinking about doing something that doesn't line up with Bible truth, then what you do is you call out. Call out to your pastor. You're married, call out to your husband that might walk with God. You know, maybe sit down with a mom, if you will, or a dad, and when you don't know what to do, and sit down and say, you know, I'm not really sure what to do. Can you tell me what the Bible would give me direction in order to do? And so what do? You call out to those, if you will, that can see. You remember there that was Saul, and I think it was in Acts chapter 9 where you see he's struck with blindness. And the Bible says that here on that Damascus road in Acts chapter 9 in verse 27, the Bible says that Barnabas took him and brought him on to the apostles. Now, the apostles, all they heard, and it sure is bad to go by hearsay, but all they heard was this man did threatenings. And by the way, they heard the truth, but they didn't hear the whole story. They heard that he had threatened the church, and they heard that he was following people down and giving accusation against them in the court of law, having them thrown into prison and then killed. But now, wait a minute. They didn't hear the whole story, how he preached boldly at Damascus. They didn't hear the whole story, how God had worked in his life and had changed his life for the honor and glory of God. They didn't hear the whole story. Now, wait a minute. And so they took Barnabas's word, and they were able to believe Barnabas, and sometimes you need somebody that can see the good in your life that you can't see in yourself. Oh, but preacher, I feel miserable. I just don't feel used of God. I just don't think anybody loves me. Everybody hates me. I'm going to go eat worms. Things are just so terrible. Hey, it's not so terrible. Why? Because you've got a God that loves you, and you've got a God that cares about you. You've got a God that will answer prayer. You've got a God. Hey, everybody may have turned their back on you, but dear beloved friend, God has not turned his back on you. He's just the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is the Lord thy God. He changeth not. What do you need to do? Get with God and let God help you. I'm saying this morning, that when everything seems to be going wrong, remember what the light was. Remember what it was. Remember your principle. I said the last statement. I said this. I said when darkness hits, call on somebody that can see better than you can see. Statement number next. When darkness hits, trust the words of God. Man may fail you. God never will. If I was going to trust anybody, I'd trust the Creator God. Hello? I trust the one that saw the end of the road. I trust the one that wrote the last book of what's going to happen in the world. I trust the one that can change everyone. Isn't it amazing? Oh, Hezekiah. Hezekiah was a man of God, and Hezekiah was struck down with an illness. He turned his back to all the world, put his face towards the wall, and he called out unto the only one that could ever help, the one that could make a difference, the one that could change, and that was God. And when he did, God not only spared his life, but God added to his life an additional 15 years. Now, I thank God for good doctors. I thank God for doctors that can evaluate. I thank God for doctors that can go on the inside and they can see things that you can't see on the outside. I thank God for doctors that prescribe medicines. And I thank God for doctors that go to God even more and ask God for wisdom as they go in to meet with their patients. But when the doctor comes up and the doctor says, well, I just want to be honest with you, you've got only 3 weeks to live and you better get your house in order. Now, can I tell you? If the doctor says that, don't get poochy lip too much. Because you have a God that can, if it's according to his will, extend your life. You have somebody that's called the great physician. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. So all of a sudden, when the doctor walks in and says, I've got bad news for you, don't go into hysteria. Don't all of a sudden start crying, and don't all of a sudden start pulling your hair out and smacking your husband. Don't all of a sudden start stomping out the door and saying, well, it's not fair, and you know, I'm young, and I should have this life, and it should be longer. Oh, no. Now, that shows me that you're trusting you. Don't trust you. You can't trust you. Matter of fact, the Bible even talks about your imaginary, how you cannot trust your own imaginary. And by the way, doesn't our imagination sometimes carry us away? We begin to see things that's not there. We begin to imagine things that don't exist. And if we're not careful, what we do is we get caught away by our imaginary rather than being caught away by the Spirit of God and letting God work in our lives. Now, can I tell you, let God have the last word. Let God have the last word. That doctor comes walking in and says, I've got bad news for you. Bad news for you. You ought to be sitting there grinning like a beaver. He says, I've got bad news for you. And by the way, what a testimony this would be. I've got bad news for you, that doctor says. Doctor says, I've got bad news for you, sir. You're only going to live 6 months. You ought to just not break that smile. Just keep smiling. He'll look at you and say, didn't you understand? You see, because he's used to people, woo! He's used to people coming apart, you know, because that's the average person he deals with. But isn't it good that you have a God that can help you? Oh, but you say, preacher, what if it's true? What if it's true? What if the doctor says it's true? And now I've only got about 6 months to live. Well, first off, if you're saved, you're going to go to a better place. So you still can smile. Second off, if you're saved through the trials of whatever it is, maybe taking chemo or maybe taking radiation, you'll be able to testify about God all the way through. Amen. What a wonderful experience that's going to be for people that come across you seeing a real Christian. I'm saying this. You know, sometimes here's what we do. Come here, brother, and help me. Here's what we do. All of a sudden, you know, he's smiling. He's just having a good time. He's just loving Jesus. He's just wow. Everything is hunky-dory-dory. I mean, you know, he's walking down the hallways giving everybody high fives and woo! Doesn't God answer prayer? Woo! I mean, isn't God good? Woo! Then all of a sudden he gets bad news. All of a sudden, bad news comes. Now, by the way, he should still be walking down the hallway. Woo! Why? Because the things that he's facing should not change his joy in the Lord.
Right.
Now, if he's trying to get joy in himself and he's pumped up on drugs, you're not doing those, are you? Good. Then those drugs will eventually wear off. Come on. But I'm telling you this. That the joy of the Lord should never... Now, that doesn't mean he has to skip down the hallway. That doesn't mean that. He skipped like an old man. But that doesn't mean that at all. But what that does mean is this. What inside. All right, then all of a sudden he gets bad news. Go ahead, get the poochy lip and bend over back and all that. You know, now everybody sees him. All right, he's walking in a hallway all chipper and happy. You know, when I see him, it's like, hey, how you doing?
Doing great.
Oh, that is great, man. What's happening in your life?
Oh, I got cancer, but man, it's okay.
Like, wow, I got cancer, you know. All right, but now, wait a minute, watch this, if you will. You know, I'm saying this. I'm saying that inside of you, it should not change.
Amen.
And if you're not careful, it will change. Look, I've been preaching for 34 years, and can I tell you, we've been slam dunked so many times, it's not funny. I mean, I can perfectly fit through the hoop, and so can my wife. But can I tell you, we've not allowed that to destroy us.
Right.
Come on. Oh, you say, preacher, have you ever had marriage challenges? Oh, yes, I have. And as soon as my wife put me in my place, no, as soon as I put my wife in her place, well, you know, what do? We work things out. We talk through things. Come on. Preacher, have you ever had trouble with your kids? Every single one of them? Well, I thought they were perfect kids. They are not. They're perfect sinners. They can testify. But now, wait a minute. Watch this. I'm saying this. I'm saying that all of a sudden, when I see you walking down the hallway, and boy, you're just, I just don't think. Now, there's a part of me as a good believer, amen, there's a part of me that says, oh, I need to go check on him. There is a part of me that says that. There's another part of me that says, ooh, I think I'm going to go this way. Because I've already got a burden. Why don't I want another one? Okay? But now as a pastor, here's what I would do every single time. He's got this poochy lip stuff. Hey, you doing okay?
Well, life's hard right now. I've got some bad news.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, I'm sorry. Sir. Can you tell me about your bad news?
Well, the doctor said there's something wrong.
Something wrong.
Yes, sir. I'm not sure yet what it is, but he said he'll tell me Monday.
He'll tell you Monday.
And I'm afraid it might be something really bad.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Yeah. Is that in your life, your wife's life?
My life.
Your life? Yeah. I'm so sorry about that. Can I pray with you?
Yes, sir.
Oh, Father, help this dear brother. And Lord, I pray that you'd give him courage. And Father, I pray you'll comfort his heart. Help him to see he has a pastor who loves him. And help us strengthen each other through this trial. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, let's go talk a little bit.
Yes,
now, by the way, that's what brothers ought to do, and that's what sisters ought to do. All right, now, wait a minute, though. But now, and I'm just being kind of candid, I guess, and kind of straightforward with you. But why does it have to get that far? Don't you have a God? Why you have to let it get that far? Can't you meet with God? Now, I'm here. I'm not trying to push you. I'm saying, come on, let me help you, let me help you, let me help you. But what I'm saying is, God's the great fixer-upper. He is.
Amen.
He's the one that can work in your life. He's the one that can help you. He's the one, you know, I don't have hardly anybody to go to, but I can go to God.
Amen.
You know, and I can go to God and say, hey, God, hey, help me now. Help me to understand this. Help me. Guide me, God. Hey, work in my life and work in my family's life and just do the work that only you can do. And by the way, God is very good at doing that work.
Amen.
Thank you. Be seated. Watch this. Okay, what do you do when darkness comes? When darkness comes, remember everything that you saw in the light. Statement number two, when darkness hits, picture where everything is. Statement number three, when darkness hits, feel after those things that are right. Statement number four, when darkness hits, call out to someone that can see better than you. Statement number five, when darkness hits, trust in the words of God. The Bible says to make me to lay down in green pastures and to lead me beside the still waters in Psalm 23. When darkness hits, what do I do? When darkness hits, you stand still, let your eyes adjust. You ever do that? Stand still, let your eyes adjust. I take people to the mission field all the time. And people will get stirred by emotions, you know. And I take people to the mission field and they say, oh, I believe God's called me here. I said, that's good. Now you pray about that for a long time. Because the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. He's not going to change his mind. And if you feel that way about 2 or 3 months from now, let's talk about it. Let's talk about it. You know, you say, why do you do that, preacher? Because I don't want somebody to get stirred by emotions. I've seen too many missionaries go to the field, and it's not really a calling. It's an emotional pull. And then when they get there, it's like, man, what am I doing here? I don't belong here. I shouldn't be here. Okay? So I say, now wait a little while. Make sure it's God. The same thing about the pastor, or the same thing about maybe going to a certain type of school or something like that. Statement number next, and I'm done, and that is this, okay? When darkness hits, remember, nothing changed except the way you see it. When darkness hits, remember, nothing's changed. It's just the way you see it. That sofa didn't move. You just can't see it now. That chair didn't move. You just can't see it now. That food in that refrigerator hadn't moved. You just can't see it now. The doorknob is still there. The door is still there.
Yeah.
You just can't see it now. You know why? Because you're in darkness. Now, I'm saying, here's some principles to understand. When you walk through darkness, and by the way, I was working on the sermon last week, and can I tell you, God knows maybe the darkness that you're walking through right now in your life that you did not know how to be able to maneuver through. And can I tell you, I was out hunting one time, and my dog ran off and left me, I was in the woods by myself, and I was deep in the woods. I'm talking about deep in the woods. And I had a gun with me, and my dog done left me, forsook me, and it went off. And so I thought, man, I'm deep in the woods, and I have no idea where I am. And then I remember something that Grandpa told me one time. He said, whenever you're deep in the woods and you get lost and you don't know where to go, find the path. Find the path. It may not lead you where you want to go, but it'll lead you out. And once you get out, you'll know where to go. May I give you an illustration about this? There's a path that God has for you that every believer that's walked through darkness has walked down. It's a well-trodden path. You get on that path and you walk down that path, and it'll lead you out to a familiar area where now you can see, oh, now I know that's where the farmhouse is. Oh, now I know that's where Uncle Jim lives. Oh, now I remember that's where Aunt Ida lives, right over there. Oh, now I remember where they all live. So now I can just get out there in those meadows and go to one of those relatives' houses, because now I can see clearly where they are. God can use that in your life too. Father, we thank you.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.